Daydreaming About Dragons. Last week, we talked about pacing expectations, just the flow of the game, you know, when conflicts happen, when the big battle, when a big battle happens, if your game has a big battle, if it has battles, if it has anything, who knows, whatever you're playing. And that's what I was thinking about. And the way different people reacted to different types of games. Pacing, pacing, pacing. This week, I want to talk about genre expectations, because I feel like that's a lot more ephemeral. That has to be a lot more of an in-depth conversation, right? I was talking about this with Strash the other day about Dune, right? Someone says, oh, I love Dune. Let's play a game based on Dune. You've got to say, cool, I love Dune too. What is it you love about Dune, right? Because there are so many different ways to get into it. Oh, do you like the books? Okay, do you like all the books? Do you like the Brian Herbert books that were written after Frank Herbert died? Do you like just the first book and not read any of the other books? Do you read all the books? Do you like what is it about it that do you like the David Lynch books? Do you like the weirding modulators? Do you like the way the Fremen suits look? Do you like the idea of a white kid walking into a desert culture and saving it? Like, what is it that you like about these about Dune? You know, for me, it's knife fights in space and plans within plans, right? That's what interests me about Dune, is kind of a baroque, ridiculous culture, you know, human culture that has grown in on itself over time, and knife fights in space and all that fun stuff, and then fun, you know, politicking. That's a conversation you have to have. Very similar when you talk about the Forgotten Realms, right? I have friends who love the Forgotten Realms, and I love the Forgotten Realms, but what I love about it might not be what someone else loves about it, right? What I love about it is that first gray boxed set. I think it's actually really cool and a pretty interesting setting document. But then after that, right, the Crystal Shard hits the New York Times bestseller list, and suddenly the Forgotten Realms becomes the most developed piece of fictional real estate on the market. There are just, you know, apartment buildings everywhere, so to speak, metaphorically speaking. You follow me? Cool. So, yeah, what do you love? You know, do you love the books? Do you love the novels? Did you love the old SSI video games? Do you love the new video games? What is it that you love about it? So you've got to have those conversations. And I think the genre expectations are very similar. Right? Oh, I love fantasy. Oh, what kind of fantasy? Oh, grimdark fantasy. Cool, grimdark. What do you love about it? Right? Because you might end up finding a situation where you're like, yeah, I'm not really interested in that. You know, oh, I love the blood and the gore and the, I don't know, what, you know, oh, it's so realistic. Very often people who love grimdark fantasy say, oh, I love the realism. All right, cool. Well, what does that mean to you? Let's talk about realism. Right? You need to like have those conversations, because it could mean very different things. Right? I remember reading a review of a Star Trek movie, and the reviewer said, yeah, I didn't like it that the science didn't work. Like it wasn't scientific. It wasn't science fiction. It was fantasy. And I was like, dude, there was like a planet of Prohibition era gangsters, an entire planet of Prohibition era gangsters, right? There was like a Roman gladiator planet. Like, y'all need to just chill with your hard science fiction, like, you know. So anyway, these are conversations you have to have. Star Trek, Star Wars, those are good ones. Well, what do you love about them? Oh, Jedi. Oh, scoundrels, right? You can love very different aspects of those things, and that's a cool conversation to have. What do you love about it? You know, and try to get out of talking about scenes. I feel like when we get together with friends and we're like, oh, what do you love about it? Oh, well, there's that one scene. Okay, well, what did you love about that scene? You know, dig that thematic stuff out of folks. You know, rather than just talk about, oh, I loved this scene where this happened. Because you want to figure out, all right, well, what do we want to be doing in this game if we're going to be, you know, riffing off of, you know, X, Y, or Z fictional content. And I think that's just a really interesting conversation to have, and a fun conversation to have about what, you know, what you love about things. Why do you like them? What about it could you leave behind? You know, when we started our Blades in the Dark Bluecoats game, You know, part of what I said was, I really want to play a true detective game with, you know, a feminist bent, right? I really wish that show, especially the first season, but all of the seasons, really, but first season in particular is what I was talking about at the time. It wasn't so great with women and their voices and having them be heard. There just weren't a lot of, there wasn't a lot of protagonist moments for women in that show. So that was one of my things, like, hey, I'd love to do, you know, feminist true detective, you know, with a pair of partners in a corrupt world, dealing with monsters, solving crimes, you know, dealing with their own imperfections. And that's kind of where we went, you know, and it was good. And it got Lauren on board right away. I was like, true detective, but feminist, maybe some Sherlock Holmes, you know, but not so much, you know, solving the crime is going to be a thing, but, you know, more that vibe of Sherlock and Watson, you know, that relationship. And Strash was on board, and when we talked to Lauren, she, as soon as I said, like, those two things, she was like, in, done. And it was cool. It got, the shorthand got us there. So having those conversations, and I think it's really valid to say, hey, I want to do a game about something I don't like about a genre. You know, we don't ever see X, Y, or Z. We don't ever see this, you know, and I feel like our game, the Burning Wheel game that Sean and I have been running, was very much, especially the Bina Janos book one chapters, and I'll have links to those, all these games, I'll have links, but I think a lot of that was, you know, we don't see, I feel like a lot of the time when, you know, in fantasy fiction, when you see women being powerful, it's because they were born into noble blood. And so, you know, they have this already, they've got this power, and they you know, grow powerful in the court. And so it was interesting to be playing with a protagonist who was a woman who was a servant, who just really wanted to save her town, save this town that had adopted, well, that she had been forced to be adopted into, and wanted to save her family. And it was big and complicated and ridiculous, and I loved it. Loved it. Really cool. Good stuff. So I think the conversation doesn't have to be what you love about it. It could also be, what would you like to see different? You know, what have you never seen in a Star Wars movie but you'd love to see? Oh, cool. Yeah. Absolutely. I'd love to, you know, who collects the taxes? I'd love to play a tax collector. I'm just throwing things out there to make things up. But, you know, I think it's interesting. I think there are interesting things to be seen because you want to criticize something you love too. That can absolutely work. So have those genre discussions and have those, what do you love, what do you not love, you know, what do you never see? Because what I found is that what I love about our hobby, our role-playing game hobby. Man, I just stubbed my toe. Oh, I am in so much pain. Whew, moving past it. All right, what I love about our hobby is not stubbing my toe and being in terrible, terrible pain. But what I love about it is how it can surprise you, right? So, you know, when Sean and I started the game about Bina Janos, and I had no idea what was going to happen. You know, I had no idea. I was kind of nervous, and I loved that. And it could have been a cautionary tale. The dice could have not gone, you know, their way, and it could have just been a mess, but it wasn't. So, you know, be open to having that conversation and then watching how our hobby can move a game beyond the genre and into an area that you just never considered. And I think that can be really cool. Really cool. And yeah, I love that. Love that about our hobby. You know, how you can write a love letter to a genre and then add to it. And add bits that had never been added to it before. Or that you've never seen added to it before. That you would like added to it. So that's it. That's me. Talking about genre. I'm sure I will come back to this, right? Inspiration Goat often has things to say. So that's what I'm talking about this week, about genre. Last week we talked about pacing, and I said I would get to genre this week. So true to my word, here we are. And now we can get to the inspiration goat. Let's see what IG has to say. Star Trek Lower Decks. Good one, inspiration goat. So this is a cartoon. It just came out. Kind of a funny, irreverent take on Star Trek. I find it charming. It's nice and positive. It's funny. It's adventurous. I really enjoy it. So I want to talk about something that happened in the last episode, where a character is trying to, in the B plot of episode 2, season 1, a character is trying to find their place and is and for other reasons that you'll see in the B plot if you ever decide to watch it, and they're transferring to different departments. They go from engineering to command to security, and then I think blah, 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 blah. So every time that they transfer, there's this like moment of tension where their commanding officer is like, "You're transferring?" And you think, oh, they're going to be really upset. And then they go, "Great. Good luck. I'm glad you're following your dream. Go for it. Find your place." And I'm going to tell you a couple reasons why I like that. Number one, it says something about Star Trek, right? So it says something about the setting. That's fun. That's not my main point, but it's fun. It says something about how Starfleet is well-adjusted. Great. Cool. Another thing. The main thing I like is that it is an example of TV not taking an easy opportunity for drama, right? Sometimes, and I feel like because we have to do this, we have to create drama and make decisions about how an NPC or a non-player character, how an organization, how someone who's interacting with the players, characters, is going to feel about something very quickly. And very often, the instinct is to have them interact in a way that is antagonistic, or that will create drama, create story, create whatever. And sometimes that's just not the right decision. Sometimes you got to leave the low-hanging fruit and not swing at the lobs. And I like that if this is an example of a TV show not taking an easy shot at drama. That seems very rare to me. Most of the time, TV shows just go for it. And I love that they didn't do this. And I think this is something we can bring into our gaming, where you don't go for the easy thing, right? An example of this comes in a Stars Without Number game that I ran. And a friend of mine had a mother who was an astrophysicist and a very prominent and well-regarded astrophysicist. And his father was a captain of a space pirate ship. And I was like, wow, you know, how do they deal with that? And he was like, oh, you know, I don't know. Let's think about it. And my friend's an actor. So he was like, you know, maybe my dad's cheating on my mom. And it really pisses me off. And I was like, what if we do it this way? What if your parents are smart people? They're just smart. And they know that your dad's going to be away for months at a time, maybe longer sometimes. And they have a deal worked out. You know? She knows that he's going to have, you know, lovers in every port. He knows that when he's gone, she's going to see other people. And they've just got a deal worked out. There's no drama, right? Sometimes drama is great, and you got to go for it. Other times, man, I didn't play Stars Without Number. I don't go for space opera so that we can like have family squabbles. Now, mind you, I have a whole episode. If you go back on Sandman and using family tension and family squabbles in games for all kinds of stuff, from gods to whatever, to wizards. Sometimes you want to go for family squabbles, but sometimes you want to leave the easy conflicts behind and not do it. And this is one of those cases. I was like, I'm really not interested in this conflict. I am not, and most of the time when I'm not interested in it, my personal preference, I'll just give it to you here, is when there's something to do with jealousy. I am just not interested in that, especially romantic jealousy. Maybe a little bit of like Salieri, Amadeus jealousy. Ooh, I should, inspiration goat. How have you not brought up Amadeus? Anyway, We'll talk about that another time. I'm gonna chat up Inspiration Goat, try to get Amadeus on a future show. One of my favorite movies. Maybe a little bit of like Salieri jealous of you know, a Salieri-like wizard jealous of another wizard's talent. I could go for that kind of jealousy. But romantic jealousy? Man, I'm just so tired of it. You know? There are so many more interesting things to do with a romantic relationship. And, you know, I just got to walk by those kinds of things and get rid of that kind of tension. Because I'm just not interested in playing it. So maybe the thing to think about here is not only walking away from easy conflict sometimes and finding your conflict elsewhere, but figuring out what kind of conflict you're interested in and what kind you're just not. And nixing it right at character creation, you know? Or right as you're kind of figuring out a family situation. Because, I don't know, sometimes the easy choice is kind of a lazy choice, and it's not great. So that's what I'm thinking about. That's what Lower Decks had me thinking about, along with a lot of other things. I have a feeling we'll be coming back to Lower Decks. I have a feeling we're going to be coming back to Star Trek Discovery. I'm really enjoying these new forays into the Star Trek universe. So there's more to be said for good and ill. I'm really digging them. So, yeah, leaving easy conflict behind, right? Did we really go out into the depths of space to have an HR conflict about where you're transferring? Maybe. Maybe we are. Maybe we are. But maybe there are more interesting conflicts to be had, you know? Think about it. Think about when you've got a NPC who's going to be antagonistic just because. Are you doing it because it's interesting, or are you doing it because you just don't know what else to do and you want to eat time? Because sometimes having a mentor can be more interesting than having an antagonist. And look at your NPCs with a critical eye when you're done. You know, look it over. Is everybody antagonistic? Are your players, characters walking around in a world full of jerks? That's not cool. It's not fun. You know, find the positive people too. Throw them in there. Give the players allies. Not everything has to be a hurdle in their way. Not everyone has to be a hurdle in their way. So find those instances where you can have a friendly face, you know? And it can be in really ways that are surprising. If you listen to, I'll put a link to the Bina Janos Burning Wheel game. And I had a noblewoman who had a lot of respect for Sean's character, even though, you know, she was a peasant and a servant. But the Duchess respected her and realized that she was an important person in this area. She also set her limits, you know, and set boundaries, professional and or otherwise. But it's an important thing. I think it's an important thing to have characters who are allies for the player characters too, you know, especially when they're trying to do something really difficult. Put the allies in there and keep a tally of how many characters, you know, if everybody is antagonistic against them, it might say something about the setting, but it might say something about you. Because sometimes I feel like we're kind of, you know, GMs have a lot of anxiety about filling that time. So are you just trying to fill the time with arguments? Or, you know, are you just nervous? And antagonism is kind of easy. Kind of easy to just say no and then have a character insult them. What if they didn't? You know, think about that. When you're thinking about doing an antagonistic character, think about what happens here if this character just is positive. You know, what happens if the player character interacting with them reminds them of their favorite niece and they just take them under their wing? and watch how the players at your table react to a mentor. It can be really profound. It can be really a strong reaction, a strong positive reaction. So that's what I'm thinking about. Not going for the easy fruit. Let me know how you deal with that, what you're thinking about conflict at your table, and when you go for it and when you pull back. I'd love to hear. All right, let's get to the outro. Thank you so much for listening. There are a number of ways to support this show. You can leave me a review on whatever podcast application you're using. If your podcast app doesn't have a review capability, some don't, you can head over to iTunes and drop me a review there. That's always helpful, and I appreciate it. Let people know what they're getting into when they push play for Daydreaming About Dragons. You could also drop me a line. Drop me an email, judd.karlman@gmail.com, and let me know what's going on at your table. You can do it via email. You can send me an MP3 that you've recorded. You can go on the Anchor app and record a message. You can tweet at me. Whatever it is, however you want to let me know that you're listening and that, you know, you've got something to say and you how something that I've said relates to what's going on at your table. I'd love to hear your point of view. I would love to make this a conversation. I don't want to just be daydreaming alone. And I'm not. You all have been very vocal, and it's been really, really lovely. So thank you very much. Monetarily, there are a number of charities that I have linked. Please give. Black Lives Matter. And I would love to, you know, if you were going to give some money to the show, please give it to any one of those causes. They're amazing. And, you know, a little bit of justice in the world is good. A lot of justice is even better. But, you know, if listening to this has made the world a little bit better through support, that's great. I'd love that. There are ways to support the show, but right now in the COVID era, I've just said, please don't drop that money in other places. And if you do that and it made you feel good, drop me a line. Let me know. I would love to hear from you. All right. I'm a little off schedule. I thought this was going to come out Sunday. I had an inspiration goat that I wasn't 100% happy with. It still might make it into another show, but I just needed to walk away from it and look at it later. So I inspiration goat came to me with this alternate, and I jumped on it. So that's where we're at. So hopefully, I don't know if I'll have a show out on Sunday, but maybe I'll switch to Fridays for a little while. I don't know. We'll see. If not this coming Sunday, then the Sunday after that. Maybe a reply show in the middle. We'll see how it goes. And I hope your gaming is going well. My gaming is going splendidly. I had a real rejuvenating game of Trophy Gold last night that really just set my head right after having kind of a rough day. I hope your games are going that well. And I will talk to you soon. Keep daydreaming.